Ladies and gentlemen, this is the week when Santa Claus pays us a visit with his familiar old bag of gifts. We now bring you a comedian who visits you every week with his bag of familiar old jokes. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Who we got out front? Whistler's mother? Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And what a day, Mr. Gallup. I had Christmas shopping. Christmas shopping. That's American for buying something someplace for somebody who somehow buys you the same thing for the same price on the same day in the same store.
Mr. Gallup?
I got all my presents but one.
I still
don't know what to get the sponsor. You know, I want to get the sponsor something he'd like better than anything in the world.
Get him Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
Mr. Gallup.
It's Christmas. Presents. Oodles of goodie for good little announces. Watch your P's and Q's, Mr. G.
When the old year goes,
you wouldn't want to go with it, would you? Would you?
Burl,
I hope you haven't succumbed to this sentimental foolishness and bought me a gift.
Sentimental foolishness? So that's the thanks that you get for trying to do something warm and friendly in the Christmas spirit. Sentimental foolishness.
Then you did get me a present?
No.
I just can't seem. I drove over in a Studebaker. I just can't. Don't applaud. It's Christmas. If you want to give me a present, not applaud. I just can't seem to find anything for you, Mr. Gallup. I really can't. I wanted to get you something for lying around the house.
Lounging pajamas?
No, a slab. Okay, then, Mr. Gallup, since there's nothing you want me to get you, at least let me shake your hand.
Shake my hand?
Yes.
Oh, in that case, there is something you can get me.
What?
A rubber glove.
Oh, that's jazzy. A rubber glove.
Rubber glove. See, this is going to be a good year.
Good year.
Oh, brother, I bet tomorrow Lionel Barrymore will get more laughs as Scrooge.
Remember?
More laughs as Scrooge. That girl can't walk out on the broadcast.
Don't let her out.
We need them all in here tonight.
Mr. Gallup.
Mr. Gallup, changing the subject, or getting back to the subject in Christmas, you're coming over to my house Christmas Eve, aren't you?
Oh, I'm sorry, Burl, I can't make it.
But you promised. You promised, Mr. Gallup.
Oh, James.
Skelton, I'm kidding. I was banking on you to be Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
Yes, Mr. Gallup. We have no fireplace, and you're the only one I know that's thin enough to come down through the hot water pipe.
Hot water pipe.
That's what I get for telling an original joke. It won't happen again tonight, so on with our Christmas show. Christmas, when peace and good fellowship... Thank you. That's all. Thank you. When peace and good fellowship... That's enough with the bells. Thank you. It's over. Thank you. Peace and good fellowship... Knock off! Peace and... Okay. Christmas, when peace and good fellowship... Reign supreme. Today, people can think of nothing but Christmas. But does anyone ever give a thought to another holiday which is always ignored by an account of... Don't go away. I'll read it again. But does anyone ever give a thought to another holiday which is always ignored because of Christmas? December 21st, the shortest day of the year? Let us pause as we pay tribute to this day. Ladies and gentlemen, a salute to December 21st, the shortest day in the year. Thank you. On with our Christmas show. Ladies and gentlemen, no Christmas program is complete without that famous poem, The Night Before Christmas. as read by America's most beloved poet, who is with us tonight, Mr. Ralph Waldo Finster.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ralph Waldo Finster, in a reading of Clement Seymour's The Night Before Christmas.
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the calm, not a creature was stirring, not even a grism flip face. But out on the shrubnet there arose such a slabber, I sprang for my Clyde to see what was snuff Dubby Clyde. When what to my wandering bloom should a croppers but a miniature slimy and eight tiny pastanacs. With a little old man so lively and flow, I knew in a moment it must be Sam Krause. More rapid than dribbles or his clovnies they came, and he whistled and banistrated and called them by name. Ho, Dasher! Ho, Dancer! Ho, Smallman! Ho, Snoobelbein! I'm Comet! I'm Nibbet! I'm Umbrick and Strutowas! He was dressed all in chorus, from his crop to his mind, and his clothes were all covered with epis and tries. He had a broad face and a little round crowbin that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of pucha. He tried to repeat him to his team to the snuff, and away they all flew like the cries on the blinding. But I heard him exclaim as he ladled his bridle, Happy Christmas to all, and to all a bridal didle.
Mr. Finster has asked me to announce that if you wish a copy of the poem you've just heard, write him Care of Violencing on the second floor. Ask for Mr. McMurrin the same. And if he's not there, Charlie Corydon will pay you. Mr. Gallup, remember those Christmases when we were young? It was such a problem getting a gift for that one and only girl. You used to say to her, darling, I don't know what to get you, because you've got everything, everything I'm wild about. You've got everything, everything I've dreamed about. Cynthia. Yes, Cynthia, you had everything, but it was just in the wrong places. Radiant Cynthia, your face reminded me of the son of Frankenstein. It was your eyes that captivated me, Cynthia. You weren't exactly cockeyed, but you were the only one who could watch a ping-pong game without moving your head. Cynthia, if only you didn't have such big ears. It was hard to tell whether you were born here or grounded by bad weather.
Grounded by bad weather.
Boing! Big economy size, Cynthia. Remember that Christmas that you hung up your stocking with a note asking Santa to fill it? He did. But in order to do it, he had to leave two of his reindeer in it. I put my riders in that stocking, too. No breathing space. Simple. Simple, unaffected Cynthia. Remember when I bought you that pair of earrings? You put one in your nose and you threw the other one in the way. You shouldn't have thrown it away. You should have put it in your other nose. Yes, my Cynthia had two noses. Two! One for each tooth. But you didn't need any more, Cynthia, because you had... Every week you stop playing just when I'm dancing. That was Santa Claus is Coming to Town, played by Ray Block and the Philharmonic Orchestra. And Ray, may I say that each week you get better. Last week you were nothing. And this week you're better than nothing.
You better get better than nothing, because if you have nothing better than nothing, it'll be better if there's nothing, and you'll get nothing. I wish I had a good joke. That was nothing. And now, as we continue our salute to Christmas, we present...
Christmas Forum tonight. Christmas Forum tonight. The question, will Santa Claus ever be replaced by General Myers?
Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Thank you. Now, let us have questions from the audience. Let's start with this gentleman down here wearing a Holivar Mackinaw. Yes, sir?
Mr. Merle, I represent a group of listeners who would like to come to your home Christmas morning to hang something on your tree.
You'd like to hang something on my tree?
Yes, you.
Thank you. Take it up with the branch office. Let us go on. All right, this young man with the bare midriff and the basket of bananas on his head. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Cocker Spaniel.
Your parents named you Cocker Spaniel?
Yes, they wanted a dog.
Oh, I see. I see.
I got the coldest nose in my family.
I can understand that.
If you want to be my friend, let's not discuss the whole thing.
Don't discuss it?
No, just give me a bone and pat me on the belly.
I'll do that. I'll do
that. Everybody makes fun of me. My girlfriend is the only one who understands me.
What's your girlfriend's name?
Lassie.
All right, fella. You have a question that has to do with Christmas gifts?
Why, you giving something away all of a sudden?
No, but I...
That I'd like to see before I die. You giving someone a present.
Now, wait a minute.
You wouldn't give anybody the lint off your union suit.
Now, listen.
Why is your heart as soft as your head? You're so cheap, the only tip you ever left was on a bad asparagus.
Look, you don't...
You're such a miser, people don't know that big pot is really a money belt.
Please.
Ah, shut up, you fat old piker.
Let us control ourselves. Let's hear from the ladies in the audience. All right, this lady in the aisle burping her baby. What is your name, madam?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question concerning Christmas gifts?
Yeah. How can I stop my husband from buying me them corny gifts? His taste is all in his feet.
Your husband buys you the wrong gifts?
Last Christmas he got me perfume. Mm-hmm. You heard of Chanel number 5?
Yes.
He got me Schlemiel number 1.
That's awful.
Once he bought a perfume that was like dishwater right out of the sink.
Sink?
It sure did.
I see what you mean.
I told him he should buy something for the house. There's lots of little things you can get in the kitchen.
Little things in the kitchen?
Yeah, he come home with an exterminator.
I understand.
What ideas he gets for gifts. This Christmas, he said he was going to get me a trombone.
A trombone? Mrs. Feeney, what can you do with a trombone?
I'm afraid to ask him.
I don't blame you.
I'm fed up. Every Christmas he plays Santa Claus. He goes out shopping in the morning and at night he comes home loaded.
It's all on his back?
It's all on his breast.
Thank you, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you very much. And now, as a climax to our Christmas forum, through the courtesy of the post office, we present that famous mailman upon whose brawny shoulders and mighty back your Christmas mail was brought to you. None other than Big Jim Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for this glorious tribute to us mailmen who unflinchingly trudge our appointed rounds through sleet, through snow, and around Christmas we go through hail for you.
Tell us, Mr. Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. Do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On the way here, I picked up a piece of mistletoe. Mm. I think I strained myself.
Mistletoe isn't heavy.
Well, this one had two people under it.
Mr. Featherfield, you have quite a record. You've never delivered a wrong letter, and you've walked your rounds for 25 years. Those are tremendous feats.
You should see them with my shoes off. They call me the life of the dead letter office.
I see. Mr. Featherfield, I understand a great complaint by mailmen is that they're always being attacked by dogs.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
My left leg has more teeth marked in it than a piece of wax fruit.
It's dreadful.
Oh, I don't mind the dogs chewing on my legs, Mr. Burrell.
You don't?
No, but when they're through, they drag me away and bury me in the backyard.
Oh, no.
Sometimes I'm buried for as long as 3 days before the dogs remember where they put me.
You poor mailman. Those heavy bags that you have to carry on your back all day long. Mr. Featherfield, you must go around with a stoop.
I did for a while, and then I married her.
Does your wife help you in your work?
Mr. Burrell, all day long when I'm walking my route, my wife is right behind me.
Right behind you?
She's holding the leash.
Thank you, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you very much. In Washington, since they published that list of grain speculators, they're all dreaming of a wheat Christmas. A wheat Christmas. You think I'm not nervous? Once they start investigating who's got all the corn, goodbye, Milton. Think I'm kidding? Mr. Gallup, what trouble I had buying my wife's Christmas gift.
You did?
That's clever. I did, Mr. Gallup. For months, my wife had been raving about a little chinchilla muff with a sheared beaver pom-pom on it that she'd seen in the department store. Mm-hmm. So I went down to the department store. Clerk, it's this muff right here.
Oh, Mr. Burrell, it's lovely.
Mm, it is warm. Looks cute, too. It's so cuddly.
Adorable, Mr. Burrell. Simply adorable.
I'll take it.
Good. Now, how about getting something for your wife?
This is for my wife.
Oh.
Did you say $42?
Yes.
Well, here's 10, 11... Oh, it's Sam Harrison and his wife, Martha.
Milty, the minute I saw you, I said, that man there at the fur counter can't be Milton Burrell. He's spending money. That's just what I said, isn't it, Martha?
Yes.
Hello, Sam. Hello, Martha. I'm just buying this little...
Stop! No friend of mine has to pay retail prices. I can get it for you wholesale. Can't I, Martha?
Yes.
Sam, do me a favor. Don't bother. It's just a little chinchilla muff.
Okay, if you want to throw your money away. Look at Martha. Would you believe that every stitch of clothes she has on cost practically nothing?
Yes.
Sam, there's just a few more shopping days
left.
That's
why I'm taking you right up to see my friend Oscar Entwistle, a wholesale purrier.
Sam, don't bother.
Bother? I love it. I'm so busy out doing favors for people, I'm hardly ever home with Martha. Isn't that right, Martha?
Yes.
Well, okay, if I can save a few dollars. Sam. Sam, where are you leading to me? It's pitch dark in here.
Oscar's place is down this hallway.
That's what you said when we went through that Chinese restaurant. We've been groping around for a half an hour.
Wait, here's something. Oop. Is that you, Martha?
Yes.
Here's the place, Sam. It says Oscar Entwistle. If it grows hair, we got it. Sam, I don't even know the man.
Oscar would be insulted if I didn't bring you. Why, he's my best friend. Any friend of mine is a friend of Oscar's. Let's go in.
Well, if he's a good friend of yours.
Shh. Here comes Oscar. Watch his face light up when he sees me. Oscar!
How are you?
Sam, let's go.
Oscar, you were at my house last New Year's Eve. You passed out, remember?
Yeah, that's the night I got rolled.
Sam, let's go.
Oscar, look who's with me, Milton Burrell.
I heard his program.
Sam, let's go.
Oscar Milty wants to buy a little chinchilla muff.
With a sheared beaver pom-pom.
Oh, he just wants to buy a little chinchilla muff.
With a sheared beaver, Sam, let's go.
Wait, you're lucky. I got just one left, only $6.
Only $6?
Shut up!
Yeah.
Buy an ensemble. With a muff, you got to take the beaver booties, beaver earlaps, a beaver sweatshirt, and a beaver tail radiator cap. $300.
300, Sam. Let's go.
Milty, Oscar is saving you a fortune. It's wholesale.
Well, okay, if it's such a bargain, I'll take it. You said the price was 300?
Only if you take the coat that goes with it. That's 600.
600?
Shut up!
Yeah.
Milty, a beaver coat for only 600. Take it!
Well, I don't know. Tell me, is it real beaver?
Real beaver? We gotta keep these coats tied down or they'd be building dams all over the place.
Real beaver coat, eh? Okay, I'll take
Shut
it.
Up.
Yeah.
Came in here to buy them up, right?
Yes, I did.
Look, for the 600 you're willing to spend, I can make you up a nice mink muff.
A mink muff? But I don't...
Shut up.
Yeah.
I'll look in the stock room and see if we got enough minks to make up a muff. Lucky man, we got two left.
Sam, let's go.
Now look, mister. How is it gonna look? Your wife and a mink muff and no mink coat to go with it.
A mink, Sam, let's go.
I'll give you a mink coat for $5,000 and we'll sew in any label you want.
$5,000?
Milty, your wife should have a mink coat.
Sam.
A woman who's married to a man in your position should look smart.
Sam.
After all, Milty, people know you to be generous, kind, lovable.
Sam.
You're suave, romantic, debonair.
Oh, Sam.
You're a fearless two-fisted fighter for the right. Sam. Get underneath, beat a heart that's warm and sympathetic.
Oh, Sam, you're terrible.
Oscar, Milty is taking the mink coat.
I am, yes. But all I wanted was...
Shut up!
All right.
Here's the bill. $60,000.
$60,000? But you just said $5,000.
This is a wholesale house. We only sell by the dozen.
A dozen? All I wanted was a little pom-pom chinchilla with a...
Dreaming of a white Christmas.
Hello?
Yes?
Is this the Harrison?
Yes.
Oh, is that you, Martha?
Yes.
Is Sam there?
Yes.
Can I speak to him?
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, that Martha. Talk, 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 talk. Windbag.
Hello, Milty.
Sam, I just called to tell you I got the loan from the bank, mortgaged the house, got my wife a job, and we made the first payment on the 12 mink coats. I sold 11 of the coats, only lost $40,000 on the whole deal.
That's business, Milty.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'll be seeing you. Oh, wait, Sam. I called you up especially to ask you to do something.
Oh, what is it?
Funny, I can't seem to remember. Oh, now I remember.
What do you want me to do, Milty?
Drop dead.